and welcome to the Food and Drink Show with myself, Karen Morton, and of course, Charlotte Hastings. Hello, Charlotte.
Well, hello. How lovely it is to be here in the London Road Market and in the Reverb studio with you.
Oh, do you know what? It's really buzzing today.
It is.
Lovely to see it so alive, isn't it? With lots of street vendors. I see some breads and cakes. And of course, we have the staples here as well. We've got Greek food. We've got Korean food. We've got fabulous meat for sale. In fact, I bought some steak here a couple of weeks ago. It was my son's birthday and it was locally produced. So it was wonderful and it tasted delightful. And of course, it's so lovely to buy local.
Well, it tastes really different when you've had a little chat to the person who's selling it to you. You get a bit of a story and a connection with the food. I'm sure that makes a difference to the flavour. I'm really enjoying my coffee here from Streets Cafe, who were very quick and generous with me this morning because I was a bit flappy with money. And they just sorted it out and it's just a lovely, lovely classic greasy spoon. It was great atmosphere in there with families enjoying some time together. I loved it.
And what also greeted me today coming in was Benny, who was playing in front of the Reverb studio, his saxophone. And he had a couple of Benny King numbers. And I felt really bad to say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop you now because I'm about to, you know, sort of get the show on the road.
Do you know who I am?
But I was so enjoying it. So he has moved somewhere else in the market. And I hope that he's going to be here a little more often because it was such a lovely way, you know, for me just to kick into the show. And listeners, thank you for joining us here on the Food and Drink Show, Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, DAB Plus, and of course you can listen online wherever you are in the world. And we want to give a lovely big shout out to our sponsors, Casa Don Carlos, who have been producing wonderful Spanish food for 40 years, and they're based in Union Street in the Lanes in Brighton. We're very excited, aren't we, about their 40th celebration, Charlotte?
Absolutely. It happens to be 40 years since I've been with Mr. Hastings, actually. So I've just realised that connection and I'm really going to look forward. I shall be going there for a romantic meal ahead of Valentine's, I think.
Well, I think that is just a lovely thing to do. And do remember, you know, to let them know who you are, because I haven't kind of met you face to face as the presenter of the show. But we are going to be giving a very big shout out in our next show. We're going to be absolutely lighting the birthday candles with Casa Don Carlos. We're going to be talking about traditions that are Spanish. We had Greek on our last show. We're going Spanish for Casa Don Carlos. But if you haven't been or you haven't been for a while, why don't you go in and just enjoy a few tapas dishes. It'll be hard for you to choose which ones are your favourites. And let them know that you were listening to Radio Reverb and wish them a very happy birthday. Now, we are supporting local, and of course, what we love as well too is thinking about what's in season. And I'm seeing you're wearing an orange top. I notice also that you're drinking a can, which is orange and grapefruit. You've got a coffee. Okay, so I'm looking for some clues. I see some butter, I see some crackers, and of course a jar of marmalade.
I know. We actually finished that last night, so it's literally hot off the press into the studio today. And making marmalade, it is quite... it takes that bit of time. The way my grandmother's recipe is over 24 hours and there's, you know, quite a lot of involvement, but I managed to get a few people to help me. And so it's a lovely way of connecting with old traditions, you know, eating ancestrally, really. And the whole house, when it was pouring with rain yesterday, it was so miserable. And then my house was smelling of oranges and sunshine and warmth. It was really delicious. And the feeling of, you know, preparing things for the year ahead, having something to give to my, you know, dear friends, you know, it's a really lovely thing to do to look after oneself.
Well, I'm so glad that you included me in the dear friends because I have a jar here with my name on it. And for those of you that sadly are not in the studio physically with us, I'm munching now on a cracker with some of Charlotte's beautiful marmalade. And I love that you have given it the chunks in there because I do like a few chunks.
Absolutely.
And it is so true, the smell. And honestly, if you haven't tried making marmalade, it is really easy to do.
Mm.
There's lots of recipes online, and it is very therapeutic. The fact you go and you get your oranges and you prepare your glass jars and the smell in the kitchen, you feel really proud of yourself when you've made it.
Absolutely.
And then you can give and share, and it's in your fridge and your cupboard, and it lasts so long. I mean, it's fantastic and cheap.
Absolutely. It is really cheap way of bringing some sunshine that we really need in this country, a little bit of a lift. And of course, connection with our European partners, our European friends. And I mean, Seville is one of my favourite places in the world, actually. It's such a beautiful city. And I've been lucky enough to spend quite a few very, very happy hours out there. And it really brings that back to me, as well as all of the women in my family have always made marmalade. So, you know, I really give a kind of strong sense of gratitude for what's been passed on and down to me, and feeling that sense of connection. And I know my grandmother would be so pleased to see that I'm using her recipe. And I must point out that her recipe is so much simpler than the Riverford one that I got, which was made in 3 hours, but I much preferred Grandma's simpler one that was over 24 hours, but just much, much simpler to do.
How can we get hold of that recipe? Because you're saying it was so simple and lovely.
Well, I am going to post, I will post it on our show notes, the photographs of Grandma's original. And because that's had embarrassing lots of spills on it, I'll also type that out for people, because you will still be able to get the oranges right until the end of February if you want to give it a go. And you can freeze the oranges. So if you don't have time now, they freeze really well and will make the marmalade when you've got a bit more time coming into spring and it's lighter.
That's so, such a good idea. So do check it out at Tasty Radio Brighton. I will be reposting Charlotte's information, and that's on Facebook and also on Instagram. And of course, just email us here at Radio Reverb, courtesy or care of the Food and Drink Show. And anything that you ask or comment on, then please, we will always include you and give you a shout out on the show. Also, what's important, I think, when we're making marmalade. Oh, that was so good. I've got a lovely taste on my mouth, and it goes so well with the coffee.
I know. Absolutely. They are really great morning partners.
They sure are, the bitter and the sweet. Yum, yum. But of course, what is important about making marmalade is that it's marmalade, oranges specially for making marmalade.
Yes.
They are not to be eaten. And you may be smiling as you hear me say this, because I just wanted to test it out for sure and went to try to eat an orange that is for the Seville oranges for making marmalade. And they are not sweet. It's specially for making marmalade, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, they're full of pips, and the pips are what has the pectin, and the pectin is also really good for you. I'm so sorry, I can't remember. I will find out why. But these things are really, really good for our system. And I love the fact that people have worked out what different species of plant do different jobs and how we can really look after our whole selves.
Oh, it is great. Well done. Thank you to your grandma's wonderful recipe. I'm looking forward to taking my jar home. And, you know, if you fancy giving it a go, this is the season, okay? This is the time for making your marmalade. You've still got a chance to do that. We're talking about new, we're talking about fresh and delicious flavours here on the Food and Drink Show. But I just think it's probably quite a nice idea now that we're going to have a little bit of music. And it is called Lady Marmalade from Christina Aguilera. I know it's a track that you love as well, Charlotte.
I do.
Coming up after you hear this track about Lady Marmalade, we will have an interview, and something delicious. And it's all about the coffee, but with a twist. I will have Rob Murray in the studio with us, and he's keeping it real with the real coffee liqueur. But there's a terrific story about this. So do stay tuned to us here on Radio Reverb.
Where's all my soul, sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh. Hey, sister, go.
Mama, like, done and old Moulin Rouge, strutting and stuff. let them know we bout that cake straight out the gate. We independent women, some mistake us for whores. I'm saying, why spend mine when I can spend yours? Disagree? Well, that's you, and I'm sorry. I'ma keep playing these cats out like a car. High heel shoes, getting love from the dudes, four badass chicks from the Moulin Rouge.
Hey, sisters, soul sisters. Better get that dough, sisters.
We drink wine with diamonds in the glass by the case, the meaning of expensive taste.
You want an enche, enche, ay, ay.
Come on,
mocha, chocolata.
What?
Rio Lady Mama.
One more time, come on.
Well, it's all about new this month on the show, and we're bringing you a brand new drink that has just been launched onto the market. I'm very excited because if you, like me, are a great coffee drinker, then you're going to like this product. But there is a terrific backstory to this product as well. So please just sit back, relax, hopefully with your cup of coffee. And we're going to enjoy talking now with Rob Murray. And Rob, it's great to have you here in the studio.
Well, thank you very much for having us. It's been wonderful to come down and talk about this with you.
Fantastic. Now, I know you had a hell of a journey getting here.
We did, yes.
Because the roads were dreadful, had been flooding and all sorts. So, you know, now I hope you're feeling nice and calm. We plied you with cups of tea.
You have.
And it should be all good. So your company is called Murray and Yeatman. Now, how long have you actually been operating as a liquor company?
So the distillery was formed in 2019, originally by myself, John Yeatman, Robert Mayston and Jamie Benton. Originally, we launched just with our gin that we had at the time. But the main thing was to be focusing on the coffee project, or as we called it at that time, Project Amy. I know.
Ooh, what's the story with Amy?
Well, I'm not actually going to tell you that, to be fair. Amy is a code for one of the key parts in the process that we ended up developing.
There's a bit of a, yes, exactly, yeah. That's very special. It has to be a secret. I wasn't sure if it was like the love of your life or something, so perhaps I'm a little disappointed there,
no.
You know what I mean?
So we started as a, just as a gin distillery, then we started making our own rums, and then we became a contract distiller, so we manufacture many different brands for many different people, being the gin, vodka and rum, but all of that was really to fuel and pay for the research behind what we've created today.
So you know what you're talking about whenever it comes to alcohol and producing off it. But then, as you've said and you've been hinting at, there was something, you had a passion for something that went beyond gin and rum, and it's to do with coffee.
Correct.
Please tell us what this product is.
So the journey started actually in 2014, before the distillery was formed. Actually, I had another distillery before that, but the journey of this started then. There was a peer-reviewed paper published from some gentlemen at the University of Columbia, and they had looked at whether it was possible to make alcohol solely from coffee ground. When I read their paper with my business partner Jamie, one of the things that we noticed was that in their method, they'd gone through all of these different sort of testings, and they'd done a huge steam explosion essentially to try and separate the matter. And I'll get to why that's important in a moment. But then they actually just added sugar. So when you're fermenting it, you're fermenting the sugar. But when we looked at the results, we saw a very, very small yield that had to have come from the coffee grounds. And so we thought, well, this is going to send us down the rabbit hole with Alice. Can we actually make alcohol just from the coffee ground itself? And, well, the journey started there. Because I don't know if you're aware, but all plant matter, it doesn't matter if it's coffee ground, if it's a wooden table, or if it's grass cuttings, all it actually consists of is tightly knitted sugar cells, and we worked out a way to be able to expose those sugar cells and ferment it to turn it into alcohol.
Wow, so you're really a chemist in action there. Now I can see you all nearly in white coats producing.
Well, we do
this.
Wear white coats at work. Yeah, that's very true. That's for food safety standards more than anything else. But yeah. So yeah.
So Rob, it sounds really quite complex in the making of this brand new drink using the coffee ground. Why was it so important for you personally to embark on this?
For me, having been in the alcohol industry for a while, it's amazing how wasteful, I suppose, the industry is and how lacking of innovation it has. I mean, many things, if you think, are done exactly the same way. Doesn't matter what you're distilling or what you're creating. It uses the same machinery, the same processes. And it doesn't really show much innovation, especially when it comes to what we use as the base. If you think that all base spirits, so that, you know, tequila's made from cactus, vodka used to be made from potato, now it's mostly wheat, you know, rum is made from molasses. All of those things have existed for over 400 years. And it was trying to think of, you know, in this world where we need to start thinking about what we're leaving behind for people, especially, you know, the next generation. You know, we're all driving cars, turning more electric to try and save things like CO2 emissions. And it started thinking about, well, could we make alcohol from a waste product to save it going into landfill? And then actually create something valuable out of something wasteful, I suppose, you know, something that has no value. And it really became a bit of an obsession. I can't deny that. My wife has mocked me many times for it. But it was trying to find that difference. And then when it struck the coffee ground, how much that is wasted is unbelievable.
I was quite horrified about that because I wasn't really thinking of the coffee grounds as something that created CO2 emissions in such a drastic way. I really didn't, because we are a coffee, every country, it's about socializing, mixing together, enjoying a cup of coffee. Endless amount of coffee shops in our high street. And we know that some coffee grounds are taken away and then they're used to grow mushrooms. And sometimes we mix them and we, you know, in with our compost.
Yes.
And you can actually rub them all over your body and have a beautiful, you know, exfoliator. But that, you know, we weren't really thinking about the damage to our planet by all the coffee that we're drinking. So give us you do have some very accurate statistics,
so,
Rob.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the majority of coffee ground does go into landfill, sadly. You are right, spreading it in your garden in a small amount is a thing, but when it's put into a big sort of clump, that's when it becomes bad. So it doesn't produce CO2 per se, it produces methane, which is worse for the atmosphere, actually 22 times worse than CO2. So as a CO2 equivalent, for every one tonne of coffee ground that goes into the ground, sounded a bit right there, didn't it? Every one tonne of coffee ground, let's call it spent coffee, that goes into the ground in landfill, actually produces one tonne of CO2 equivalent. So if you were to look at that as a country, we produce around about 1.8 million tonnes of coffee ground a year. So if you were to work on a perfect maths, and I know some is reused, but if you were to say that all of that went into landfill, that would actually produce 900,000 hot air balloons of CO2 a year.
Wow.
To put it in a visual perspective.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I mean, obviously that's a perfect maths. There is some that is recycled, but it's still around about 80% ends up in landfill. And there are people working at many different things to do it. You know, you were talking about some there. I know some people which have created a sort of fly repellent out of coffee grounds, which is, you know, another purpose. Mm-hmm. But it's still only using a very small amount. And the whole point of creating the ethanol from it is that we can make a drink, it's being consumed at a higher rate and things like that, and then it's using up a lot more of that coffee ground. And ultimately, if we wanted to, just on a total tangent, we could purify it to 100% and use it in fueling cars.
Well,
there we go. Well, it's not about food and drink on this show.
It's all about food and drink. It does need people like yourself to get interested in it, to consider how can we use this waste product and pave the way so that your research can then be passed over and shared with other people that perhaps will look at
fueling cars. We wouldn't be here without the research of others to start with, because, you know, I'm not a scientist per se. Some would say that I am now, but I'm not educated at university. This became more of a tenacity thing, of reading many documents and then developing and testing and innovation, is insofar as we had to actually not just create the liquid, we had to actually create the machinery to create the liquid. One of the things is that with the method that we read from 2014 is they use this steam explosion. So if we were to create coffee ground from a steam explosion, you would use more energy and more CO2 to actually create the alcohol than the waste would have created in the ground, if you think about that CO2. So you'd have created more CO2 than if you'd just left it in the ground. So we had to develop a process that didn't use energy in that way. So when we actually manufacture it, it takes time, and we have to wait, I mean, we say, for nature to undo itself, because we with part of the processes, they're held in different tanks at different stages of this process. It's four main steps before we can even get to fermentation. So, you know, it's a lengthy process, but thankfully it's not energy heavy, so therefore we're not creating a bigger CO2 footprint when doing it.
Fantastic. So you're really thinking about the whole sort of 360 angle of sustainability. So you've put a huge investment in. I mean, tooling up for any new product, it is a big investment. It's risky, but you have to, I mean, one thing is you know the market, which is great, and the industry itself. But it's still a risky business bringing a new product
out. It is, yeah.
Tell us about, we're unveiling it here, the red cloth is coming off this beautiful bottle. Tell us about your drink.
So because it is made from coffee grounds, it tastes different to other coffee liqueurs. It has very much more of a aromatic flavour, very fresh coffee. It is lighter to the taste, so we made sure that we add sugar for sweetness, because as a liqueur, people expect it to be sweet. But we made sure that that was halved to keep it down. So you get this really refreshing taste on the palate, and then it has a lingering sort of afternote of coffee. I'm sure you'll look forward to trying it a bit later anyway. It was trying to think about, when it came to the flavour, we didn't want it to be exactly the same as other coffee liqueurs, because it is authentic in its manufacturing and taste. So it has a lighter taste. It's very much a digestif, so it can be drank neat, whereas existing coffee liqueurs are mainly designed to be served into cocktails. However, of course, it does work beautifully in a black Russian or a white Russian or a espresso martini.
Oh, now you've got me thinking. Yeah, exactly. How nice. Yes, a lovely, you know, cocktail would be gorgeous. But equally, there's something nice about a coffee liqueur. What are you calling it? If it's not just like any other coffee liqueur?
Well, on the nose, we would say it's called real coffee liqueur, because it is made from coffee ground. So rather than it being a rum or a vodka that's flavoured with coffee, be it if that's by adding a you know, cold pressed coffee to it or coffee flavouring, because the flavour actually comes from the coffee ground. You know, we don't add any other flavourings to it. There are four ingredients within that beverage. There is water, there is coffee ground, which makes the alcohol and the flavouring. There is sugar, and there is caramel for colour. And the only reason why we put the caramel in there is to make people associate the coffee colour. If I'd had a braver head on me, I probably would have made it clear. But it comes out still clear, and the caramel is added for colour. But caramel is used in many different spirits, with many different beverages. I mean, Coca-Cola is full of caramel, isn't it? So.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm fascinated that it comes out clear, because I wouldn't have thought of that when we consider the colour. Yeah.
All
spirits do. Even this one with the coffee grounds. Yeah. Okay, so I'm now pouring some into a glass, and I want you to hear the glug, 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 as we put it out there. So I'm going to taste it, and we'll explain to the listeners. Now, It's a very, it's a really lovely strong shaped bottle. It's very squared rather than round, as many mm-hmm. bottles are. It's brown, so it's a very strong looking bottle. Tell us about the name.
So Realizzato is actually an Italian word. Well, let me go back a little bit. When we were coming up with the name for the product, we wanted three things. We wanted it to have a coffee association, which if you think of words with double Z, there are associations to coffee brands out there. We also wanted to have the word real in there. And then when we stumbled across the word realizzato, we found that in Italian it means for one to have completed or sustained all that they can, which then had a profound meaning for us, because as a distiller, to create not just another coffee liqueur, but to create a new liquid, because the base liquid is new. You know, nobody's ever distilled coffee grounds before. And to have done that and then create the new processes, well, you know, in a certain sort of bragging way, what more can we do? Well, we'll see. We'll carry on and see how far this rabbit hole goes. But it's, you know, it's that. Oh, so what do you think? You've tried it now.
I know that people are expecting me to say, oh, it's gorgeous. It's fabulous. It absolutely is, though. I'll tell you what I love about it is you were highlighting there several times about its lightness. Mm-hmm. And it's not heavy in the mouth. So it's not sickly sweet. You know, sometimes some of these things are very sweet. And I mean, that's just for me. I'm not somebody that has a huge sweet tooth. Some people are. But what I love as well, too, is you get that kick of the alcohol, and you don't often get that with other coffee liqueurs.
That comes down to normally having a very high sugar content. That masks it normally. But again, it's a different base. You know, you are one of the few which have drank a alcohol that has been created. You know, I mean, if you think, the gins, the rums, the vodkas, they've been around for sort of like 400 years. Nobody's ever made it from coffee ground before. And that was the difference. I mean, we tested the process on many different things as well. So watch this space. There's more to come.
Well, I have to say it is lovely, and there's a lovely little aftertaste, because you know you're drinking an alcoholic drink, but it is soft on the palate, and you're just getting those lovely combinations of flavours in the mouth. This is a really lovely drink. So having it as it is, or you could have some ice in it, or
personally, and a lot of us at the distillery, we will just put a couple of lumps of ice in it and drink it as if you were just over ice, au naturel, shall we say.
Au naturel, yeah.
But if you do, we found that if you do make a white or a black Russian, the main thing is to invert them. So don't have, normally you'd have twice as much vodka to coffee liqueur. Do it the other way around. One thing that we found is that the coffee liqueur sings better when it's at a higher volume. Within the beverage. It also means technically you're using a cheaper spirit, so it makes your cocktail cheaper as well.
You've just mentioned that it sings more. Now, a little birdie has told me that not only are you a master at making alcohol beverages, but you were in a band at one point.
Yes, we were, yes. Myself and a chap called Neil, who does our PR, yes, we used to be in bands. We used to do a lot of gigs in Brighton and down to Bournemouth and things like that. So
what was the name of the band?
Well, we called it RTC, which this was really tongue-in-cheek. It stood for Reduced to Clear. And our first album was going to be called Shelf, because that's where we knew our album would end up being. There's even a dreadful YouTube channel which has got about 5 videos on it.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, it's your claim to fame. Now, I've also heard that you're possibly thinking of reforming, getting the band together, dusting the cobwebs off.
Well, we were supposed to have done a gig last night. However, with the torrential rain that we've had, it was sort of postponed. But yes, it was interesting. We have been known to have meetings at the distillery, lock up the building and plugging all the amps and sing songs and practice. It's quite funny, really, if I'm honest.
What a wonderful combination, yeah. What a wonderful combination. So it really does sound fantastic. And you'll have to come back on Radio Reverb and perhaps the Pete Jones Show or one of the others and get the band in the studio. And we actually have Neil, who's here in the studio. He's brought purposely to open the bottle of Realizzato for us. So
he
that was your main
job,
function
didn't he?
Today. He did, so that we could have our taste the wonderful real coffee liqueur. So Rob, something very, I think, very exciting, and I think everybody with us here today will agree, the fact that we're in Brighton and Hove, and this is primarily a Brighton and Hove radio station, is that the grounds that make up the coffee liqueur, the real coffee liqueur, are actually all produced from Brighton.
Correct, yes. So we work with a partner called Recora, who have a bespoke coffee ground collection, and all of the coffee grounds that we use come from the Brighton area, from the independent shops, the bigger chains and things that decide to use their coffee ground collections. So it comes to us and then we turn it into this. So in actual fact, the liquid technically is Brighton because it's coffee grounds that originate from here. Yeah.
I mean, that is quite something. Are we drinking enough coffee? Because you're doing all your international launches now. Are we producing enough?
Well, I'm sure you could always drink some more.
I'll help you out.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, there is so much coffee grounds out there that, just interestingly, I suppose, it takes 1 kg of coffee ground to make 1 bottle of Realizzato. So, and if you think that there's 22 grams to a cup of coffee that you guys will consume at your local baristery, it takes 22 grams. I can't do the quick maths, but that's about 28 cups, isn't it?
Wow, something like that. I'm already very impressed with all the numbers that you have there, Rob. But it is quite something. I mean, I think it makes it very special. So when we're talking about it being, you know, it is a local Sussex product. Mm-hmm. It totally is from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And for that reason, you know, we applaud you and hopefully we'll all celebrate by enjoying the drink, raising
Absolutely.
A glass to you as well, too. So sounds great. Now, the big thing is, of course, our listeners are hearing all about it and they're now thinking, I'd love to get hold of some. So how do we do that?
So we are actually local to Brighton. We're only based out of Lower Dicker, up near Hailsham. So we do deliveries ourselves, so they can purchase it on our website. There are some independent shops in Brighton which are stocking it themselves, so they can purchase it there. It will be available in 2 supermarkets later in the spring. I can't say who yet, but you could always just watch our Facebook or Insta or TikTok and we'll be telling everybody there later. And of course, you can buy it on Amazon, as you can buy everything on Amazon nowadays.
Rob, I wish you every success with this.
Yeah.
You know, I can really tell your passion. The taste is fabulous. It really is. And it looks very attractive, too. I think it's got everything going for it. And I wish you every success with it.
Thank you very much for having us.
You're very welcome. That is Rob Murray from Murray and Yeatman, who have just launched Realizzato, the real coffee liqueur. Fascinating, isn't it? You're listening to The Food and Drink Show with myself, Karen Morton, and Charlotte Hastings, 97.2 FM and also DAB+, and possibly you're listening online as well. And I really did enjoy listening to Rob, you know, and his story. It really is quite fascinating. And I don't know if you've picked up, but you know, what he has actually achieved is really something very impressive. And it's very exciting. We're going to have them back in the future because the technology that he has developed is going to take that whole recycling of waste product to a whole other level. And he has the ear of the king. And I've been told on great authority that Queen Camilla is a big fan of coffee liqueur and a big fan of the real coffee liqueur. So there you go. We only mixed in the very best of company, Charlotte.
Well, I think right now speaks for itself, does it not?
Oh, of course it does. Sort of talking about, you know, taking waste products and turning them into a delicious drink, as we've just heard. We're now also going to think about, we've had your marmalade in the studio and a new pot of marmalade that you made, a fresh batch just for me. But we talked there about the pips.
Well, of course, they would normally be a waste product, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Something that we get rid of. And normally in a fruit that has an awful lot of pips, we wouldn't want that, well, particularly in an orange. And so thinking that the pectin actually that comes from the pips has so many health benefits that no wonder I couldn't remember what they were, because they are multitudinous.
Ooh.
Shall I go through them?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
Okay, for a start, it lowers cholesterol and it manages our blood sugar levels and it aids weight loss through increased satiety and it promotes digestive health as a prebiotic. And it actually could be involved in detox. detoxification, because it attracts the metals to it and can help that waste as well. Isn't that just absolutely wonderful? Oh, and supports heart health. Other than just beyond cholesterol lowering, it actually helps manage blood pressure and reduces heart inflammation. So there we go. In those pips that we would normally throw away, they're full of all this potential.
Well, you know, it is fantastic, isn't it? How nature in its own way provides us with these clues, provides us with the products. And so, hey, eat your pips. And of course, we get to have them slow cooked in marmalade as well too, where that's being drawn out all of that goodness. It's quite fantastic, isn't it? So I'm glad that you checked that out. Well done to being able to have a mobile phone, a little bit of Googling that we were able to share with you. So talking of oranges and fresh fruits and vegetables and fruits being in season, our next guest is part of an old business, but there's a new twist to it. And Charlotte, you're going to tell us more about that.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure. It was on Instagram that I came across a company called Angmering Village Fruits and Fruits and Greens. And Nick Bunsell from there, we got in touch because he works at TG Fruits, which is the wholesalers up in the Hollingbury estate. So where, you know, fruit and vegetables and flowers as well. And then from there, where he works all night, he can actually put fruit and veg boxes for us in the Brighton and Hove area and bring them round and deliver exactly what it is we need. So I gave him my shopping list for my course at the Recovery College on Monday, the Recovery College in Preston Park. And I said, right, okay, I'm making a butternut squash risotto. And I gave him my wish list. And also I could say to him, well, I'm making risotto for six people and I can't think quite what that will be. And because he's actually a really great cook, he's a really passionate and wonderful greengrocer, he translated that into roughly what I need. And I can have a personal shopper and take down, you know, for me, the course is on a Monday, which is actually quite hard to get my shopping done because I try not to work on a Sunday. And so now he's going to deliver to my door and take out that piece of stress and worry for me. So and I'm putting some money into my local community. Wonderful. And joining things up, which feels really good.
Okay, so let's hear it from Nick.
Good morning, Nick from Angmering Greens.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I work up at the Brighton Fruit and Flower Market in Hollingbury. We work five nights a week, 11 p.m. till 8 a.m. And we deliver fresh produce to all the local restaurants in East Sussex and West Sussex. I finish my shift at 8 o'clock and then I go and do my job. I run a delivery greengrocers in Angmering and I take a pallet of fresh produce home with me, make up the orders and then deliver them.
Amazing. So if I was to put in an order of, you know, my veg for the week, you could supply that for me?
Yes, absolutely. About 24 to 48 hours delivery time.
Wonderful. So Nick from Angmering Greens is working in the marketplace up at Hollingbury. And tell me about that marketplace. What sort of service is this? It's somewhere that I've actually been as well. So if I, when I'm cooking for larger groups, or perhaps if I want to go and, you know, if I'm prepared to go and buy a whole punnet of, you know, a whole tray of stuff, I can actually go up there as a member of the public as well.
It's open to the public. It's open to wholesale businesses. And we just want to see people having a look at the quality in there.
So when you are at the marketplace in Hollingbury, you're delivering to the restaurants and cafes locally so that those places are getting some great produce fresh from you. But also because of your contacts, because of there, you're also able to deliver to people directly. Can you tell me a bit about how that would work?
Yes, so I run Angmering Village Greens and the orders that come through me, I buy their produce from the market and I'll take it back with me to my workshop, make up the orders and then deliver them.
Yeah, amazing. So the more people that come to you, the more variety of produce you can get hold of for us.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, some of the size of the boxes, I mean, people are having a full box of fresh quality fruit and veg for £30, £35.
Amazing.
But we're stuck in this in these trends that people think they have to go to Aldi or Tesco's or Sainsbury's all the time. And it's not helping farmers out. It's not helping local businesses out. And I think I'm probably one of the last delivery companies around now in the greengrocer trade. I don't have any overheads. It's just our deliveries that we're doing. So I'm very lucky that I'm still here. And as it happens, we all like it delivered anyway, don't we?
Okay.
It's convenient, it's quick. We're on WhatsApp, we have a website, email. You know, it's Anwing Village Greens.
So that's a really interesting point, actually. So where people are not going to the greengrocer because it's like an extra shop.
Yeah.
What you're doing is bridging that market and saying, all right, fair enough. You know, yeah. I get that. I will deliver what you need to your doorstep.
Yeah.
So you're saving people a lot of time
yeah.
and energy. And you've got this amazing personal service.
Yes, absolutely. What people do like is a quick and easy option. On the website, there's a veg box, £25. It's seasonal. You get all the local produce, seasonal produce, all in there for £25. It's a no-brainer. You know?
Yeah, because you also are investing in our local farmers, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. All local produce all around Sussex.
And does the market pay our farmers better than a supermarket?
Yeah. I mean, I'll come to my signature dish in a minute. It's a blue pumpkin. It's called a crown prince. It's for soup making.
Yeah,
absolutely unbelievable taste, texture, quality. My secret ingredient, homemade soups.
And so we can get those from the marketplace or via you.
Yeah,
but we can't get them from the supermarkets because of the cost.
Yeah, so we're selling them for about £2.50 at the moment. The supermarket wants to buy everything for about 20 pence each, and that's why they're not getting them, because the farmers won't let them go for that. They want fair price.
Quite right, absolutely, because of the effort and the energy and the, you know, everyone's got to earn a living, which is kind of what we're getting to here. But what you're saying is, through coming to you, we can support other local businesses, and we can also get hold of produce that is going to be effective for us, you know, of our health long term and security. So it's a different idea about food
security.
Yeah,
we can get all your herbs, all your spices, all your chilies, the habanero chilies, the yellow chilies, everything. Turmeric, fresh turmeric, ginger, the whole lot.
And of course, if I buy from the more of us that come to you, the more availability there is. That's the exciting thing, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm lucky I'm busy already, you know, but we want to come over this way. You know, we're over in West Sussex. We want to come over to Brighton. We want to come to Shoreham.
And make those links.
Absolutely.
Those Sussex links.
If you want local produce, we're your best bet. To support local, to buy fresh, quality produce, tasty produce that you're not going to end up throwing in the bin. It's not frozen, but it's not also for a pound either. But the thing is, the more you order from these local greengrocers or markets or wherever you buy your produce, the more you buy, the cheaper it can be.
And you were telling me earlier as well about your investment in your local community, if you're able to kind of kick your business off a little bit more. If we come to you, what are going to be the benefits for the wider community that we live in?
The benefits are, I mean, we're already a successful business. We've been delivering for 9 years. We're hoping next year to make the largest amount of profit that we've ever made, and we hope to be able to support local football teams, local schools. The options are endless.
The options are endless, because it's a real case of us working together.
But it's also about supporting local.
It is absolutely about supporting local and how that benefits us in ways that we might not think about.
Yeah.
This
is
the thing, isn't it?
It's a whole chain.
Yes, exactly. It's a whole chain, which is what I'm really, really picking up from you, is that we get a connection to the farmers. We understand where our vegetables are coming from. I've just been working with a young lad who has not been very keen on eating certain things or any kind of vegetables, really.
Yeah.
But because I'm lucky enough to grow them out here,
and
he can see that he can go and dig them up and he can see and start to understand them, he's feeling more able to eat more things. So it is that connection.
I've just thought of another trend. Can I elaborate? So I've got two young kids myself, and years ago, you always hear, oh, I can't get any beans into my kids, you know, because you're buying the wrong beans. Yeah, they're all stringy and tasteless and watery. Eat fresh.
Yeah.
So much better. Now my kids are eating everything. I mean, you can imagine everything under the sun. So much nicer.
Yeah. So I think it is about getting the right ones. But I really have noticed in my work that if people are connected to it and they understand where it's coming from, which is what you're offering here, is this personal connection and service, then they're just more, you know, it makes more sense to people.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to do about thinking about what makes sense for us. And I think you've made such an important point that the more profit you can make, the more you can invest in your local community where your kids are playing football.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, the services that your family are using.
Yeah.
It makes sense for you to invest in those.
Yeah.
To make a better quality.
We got a little nursery on our books on a Monday. They have loads of fruit, and now they're getting a massive great box of fruit for £10. You know, it cost me more than £10, but we're able to offload that because it's end of the week stock.
Right, exactly.
Yeah? So little things like that is massive.
Absolutely, suddenly, it really is massive.
Suddenly, the kids are going home saying, "He's eating his fruit."
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah.
You know. Nice.
To be honest, I feel a little bit emotional talking to you because, you know, the potential in what you're saying and these small acts of delivering an end-of-week package to your local nursery and affecting those families in that way is transformational.
But how long can you do it for?
Absolutely.
You know, we hope it's going to be long. I mean, we're really busy, and heads down. You know, we're already in February. You know, I'm already starting to think summertime, so I'm really excited.
Absolutely. But we do need this kind of mind shift in how we operate, and so that we can take that little bit of extra time, maybe spend a little bit of extra money, but, you know, the rewards in terms of our health and security.
It will pay dividends.
Will pay massive dividends.
You are what you eat.
You are what you eat. Exactly.
You are what you eat.
And let me ask you about your signature dish. You know, something, a dish that's important to you. I know you started to tell us a little bit about that, but something that tells us a little bit more about you and how you operate, Nick.
Yeah, so I like to keep warm. I don't like the cold. And of course, I'm up all night working in the cold. So this time of year, I like to take soup with me. Homemade soup, whatever. It could be anything. Just throw it in. We've got the zhuzha. We blitz it up. But the secret ingredient is a blue Crown Prince squash.
Yeah, I mean, it's all in the name, isn't it? Crown Prince.
Oh, it makes the soup so soft, smooth, silky and creamy. Absolutely brilliant product.
And do you peel your squash?
Yes, yeah. Just put the middle bit in.
Okay, all right. Because you can just eat the skin as well.
You can. It'll just wilt down. But, yeah. I like to peel everything, if I'm honest.
Oh, okay. I like to peel nothing, if I'm honest, and give it a good wash. But one of my pupils on the Recovery College course, where we're teaching cooking for recovery, she showed me about peeling your butternut squash or sweet potatoes we were using, and using that peel to make crisps.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Which was really, really nice.
I think some people do like sweet potato fries and stuff with squash and stuff like that. So
absolutely. Yeah. So you can do, there's so many different ways that you can do this, but you could just roast the thing whole and then scoop that out. And so this soup, Crown Prince, I think tells us a lot about its nature. Tell me about this, the characteristics of this soup. What do you think? What are they like as a person?
Doesn't look very special to look at, but
I don't know. I love that silvery grey, but okay, it is a bit grey. You think it's not so much to look at, okay?
I think people generally think it's going to be orange.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. But yeah, I wouldn't swap it for any other squash.
So its character is maybe hidden in its grey cloak.
They call it. I think some people call it a ghost squash. Got that sort of distinct grey about it.
Absolutely. I learned about them when I was working on Rock Farm, cooking with families outside. And as you say, you know, just the taste of this particular squash and how humans have cultivated it and know what they're talking about. And the great thing about this squash is that we can get it from your market at the moment.
Yeah, they're still available. Season's just coming to an end. Pumpkin season, of course. But like I said, the market's got ample supply. But the farmers won't give them to supermarkets because I don't want to pay for them.
Yeah, and but they are with you.
They are
and
with
this
us,
this is
yeah.
really important.
Cook fresh, eat fresh.
Cook fresh, eat fresh.
If you like homemade
Be
cooking.
Be fresh.
If you like homemade cooking.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Give us a try.
What's the... Is that the message from this Crown Prince soup?
Absolutely, yeah. Give it a try. See how you get on.
Give it a try. See how you get on.
If you like
on.
Homemade cooking, just give it a try.
Or even if you don't, maybe this is a good place to start because I loved what you said about, you know, you can make up this huge quantity, potentially. Mm. It does make a lot. Mm. It really still is quite cheap to make and feed a lot of people. I use red lentils in my soups as you've got in this particular one. You can hide them because they're the same colour, but they've given you the protein and the fibre. Yeah. You've got everything going on in one pot.
Yeah.
It works really well if you slow cook as well, which I do in a cast iron pot and then put that in the Wonder Bag. So it's where you're using less energy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can freeze batches as well, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
And this this soup works really well by changing itself up into a kind of a Thai curry.
Oh, yes. 100%. Yeah, yeah.
Or an Indian curry. You can do anything with it.
You can absolutely do anything with it. A trend for you. A lot of people say, oh, it was too much. How can it be too much? You can freeze it.
Absolutely.
You do get so much for your money. I said earlier on, one of the problems I've come across is people don't want to spend £35-40 because it's too much. We deliver from £15. If it's just a bit of fruit you want, that's fine. Keeps you going.
It is the versatility
that you
offer.
But it's better for us, you know, if you put a little fruit and veg order in.
Thank you so much. Just tell us where we can find you again.
Yeah, we are on email, we're on WhatsApp, but simply on your search engine, just type in Angmering Village Greens and we'll come up there.
Perfect.
If you get any problems, give us a buzz.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving us your time. And you're working at TG Fruits, which is at Hollingbury, the wholesalers.
Yeah.
So that's your kind of access point. And you're offering an amazing service. I'm so thrilled to have met you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to me.
Thank you.
Well, wasn't that a joy? And of course, what we're I love is a bit of juju. You know, and the bit of juju really is from him, isn't it? You know, when he puts that pot of soup on, you've got lots of juju, Charlotte.
Well, I do think that is the secret spice of just having some fun in the kitchen and that sense of resourcefulness that we were playing with in that interview and in our conversation, that you can use those different ingredients and make them up. And that gives you that sense of yes, which is very juju.
Ooh, well, there you go. So for all of you at home, remember, never forget to put the bit of juju in your pan. And we'd love to know what top tips you have or trends, as our lovely friend Nick would say. What's in for you at the moment? What are you noticing in your cooking, within your family, within your friends? We'd love to know. So do reach out to us here on the Food and Drink Show, Radio Reverb, and also, you know, at Tasty Radio Brighton on Instagram and on Facebook. And let's just remind our listeners again, Charlotte, of how they can get hold of you at Therapy Kitchen.
Yeah, if you look for me, Charlotte Hastings, therapykitchen.co.uk, you'll find all my contact details there. And on Instagram, I'm therapy_kitchen.
Lovely. Now, I mean, what's so lovely at this time of year, we've got Valentine's, we've also got Chinese New Year, the 17th of February is noted in the calendar. We have got Mother's Day coming up and then we're leading into April. All these gorgeous times for celebrating
the spring.
Sense of community. And I went in on Portland Road in Hove. We've got fortune cookies from our lovely little Chinese deli, come grocer, come everything really. It's really fantastic. So let's just open up here now and see what our fortunes are telling us.
I like to think of February as my whole birthday month.
Well, it is. And happy birthday.
So this feels like my first present of the season. Thank you.
Gorgeous. Well, this is it. So what is yours telling you, your fortune?
Right. Okay. So, got to get it round the right way. Better late than never.
Oh. Well, I wonder what that is. Better late than never, Charlotte. Better late than never.
Well, we're always going to... in a rush. So, I don't know. There's okay. something about that.
Well, maybe it's about
there's all
saying...
sorts of things I can think of in the back of my mind, really.
Maybe it's just be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself and don't beat yourself up with that. That's who you are.
Yeah, and you can always turn things around from right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's never too late to make a change.
Okay, so here's mine, all right? Just observe and you will learn a lot.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Okay, well, I love observing you when you're in the kitchen making. So I'm looking forward to the next time we're going to be in your kitchen. And for you today listening to us, thank you so much for joining Charlotte Hastings and myself, Karen Morton, here on the Food and Drink Show. It has been our pleasure and we hope that you have a great month until we see you again. Let's play out to Corinne Bailey-Ray and Shoe Pastry Heart. Bye.
Je.
I was just waiting for your phone call. When they came along to say that a rose don't chase your clear. Said I was gaming, but we didn't mean the same thing, I think. Broke my shoe pastry heart. Guess life's no picture until never dawn.